May tattoo ka ba? Marami akong kakilalang may tattoo at nagpapatato. Ang common dahilan kung bakit nagpapatato ang karamihan ay dahil sa isa itong kapamamaraanan ng pagpapahayag ng sarili or self-expression at ayon sa kanila, ito ay nagbibigay daw ng fulfillment. Iba't iba ang reaksyon ng makikita sa iba't ibang kultura o tao kapag nakakakita sila ng may tattoo. Yung iba pag nakakita ng taong may tattoo, ang tingin nila kaagad ay isang taong cool. Yung kaagad pumapasok sa isip nila. Wow, cool itong tao na ito. Dahil siguro ito ay nababagay sa panahon. Meron naman ibang tao kapag nakakita ng may tattoo, ang unang papasok sa isip nila, ito ay simbolo ng kriminalidad. Kung ano man ang dahilan ng pagpapatato ng isang individual, ito ay nagsisilbing identity marker o interest ng isang individual. Interestingly, ang passage na titingnan natin ngayong hapon na ito ay isang theological discussion patungkol sa kung ano ba talaga ang physical na marka ng isang tunay na anak ng Diyos. At dito wawakasan ni Apostle Paul ang kanyang letter sa discussion na ito sa Galatia. We are now closing our 4-month series on Paul's letter to the Galatians, which we have entitled No Other Gospel. Kung magbabalik-aral po tayo sa chapters 1 and chapters 2, Paul defended his apostolic authority by providing his spiritual autobiography and defended na ang gospel na kanyang tinuturo ay hindi niya inimbento. Hindi ito katang-isip ng tao na kung saan itong gospel of grace, of free grace na tinuturo niya ay mismo nagmula sa Panginoong Hesukristo at ganun din the same gospel na tinuturo ng mga apostles sa Jerusalem. So chapters 3 and 4, pinaliwanag ni Paul ang theological basis ng gospel ng kanyang pinangaral, that a sinner is justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Sa last two chapters, sa chapters 5 at saka 6, Paul takes the gospel of free grace at pinakita sa kanya ang mga mababasa kung paano ito i-apply sa kanilang pang-araw-araw na pamumuhay. So, he also highlighted na ang tunay na Christian will have the Spirit of God that will evidence the virtues produced by the fruit of the Spirit sa kanilang buhay. As Paul brought the Galatian letter to a close, he once again addressed the issues discussed through the epistles, including the marks of a true child of God. Yung po ang discussion na tatalakayin ni Paul sa letter na ito, ano ba talaga ang mark or identity mark ng isang tunay na anak ng Diyos. So our main point ngayong hapon na ito is this. The people of God have nothing to boast about except the cross of Christ marked by a crucified life. The people of God have nothing to boast about except the cross of Christ marked by a crucified life. This passage has been divided into two points. Number one, what we should not boast about, verses 11 to 13. And number two, what we should boast about, verses 14 hanggang 18. Let's start with the first one. What we should not boast about. Tingnan po natin ang verse 11. See what with large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Nakagawian na ni Paul na idikta sa isang scribe o sekretarya ang mga gusto niyang sabihin sa mga letters niya sa churches, specifically sa Galatians. And pagdating po sa last chapter ng letter ni Paul sa Galatians, siya na po mismo ang personally nagsulat nito. Siya na mismo ang nagdagdag ng kanyang pirma upang mabigyan ito ng selyo ng kanyang otoridad bilang apostol. Which is understandable because his apostleship is being questioned ng kanyang mga kaaway. Now, bakit ni Paul nilakihan ang mga letra sa pagsulat ng part ng letter na ito? Well, some refers to Paul's poor eyesight. Yun daw ang dahilan kung bakit malalaki ang sinulat na letter. Samantalang iba naman, sinasabi is because deformed daw ang kamay ni Paul. Nakuha daw niya ito sa mga series of persecution ng pagbubugbog sa kanya, kaya nahirapan na raw siya magsulat. Pero ang tunay na kadahilanan kung bakit niya nilakihan ang mga letra ng kanyang sulat or yung last part ng kanyang letter is to bring emphasis o diin sa kanyang gustong sabihin. This is to get his readers' attention. Parang pag pinadalaan ka ng email ng iyong boss o ng colleague at napansin mo sa subject title ay lahat ay all caps, isa lang po ang kahulugan nun. It means na crucial or urgent itong message na ito. So what Paul is about to say sa last part ng kanyang letter is crucial at urgent yung last part ng kanyang isusulat. At ano yung urgency na ito? Gano'ng ka-crucial ito? Well, tingnan natin sa verse 12. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised. Kung tayo ay magbabalik-aral muli, ang mga Judaizers or Jewish Christians sa taga Jerusalem ay pumunta sa mga churches ng Galatia and were compelling, forcing, o pinipilit nila ang kanilang katuruan na hindi daw sapat yung crucifixion at saka resurrection ni Christ. Kailangan pa raw ng mga Gentile Christians magpa-circumcise para mapawalang sala o ma-justify. Ito yung katuruan, ito yung pangyayari nung makikita natin sa Acts chapter 15 verse 1. At sinabi po dito, but some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Sila ay nagtuturo ng cross plus the gospel, cross plus the law, cross plus the Jewish rituals, cross plus circumcision. If we add anything to the gospel, no matter how well-intentioned it seems to be, it becomes a false gospel, a spiritual poison to the soul that leads to death. Bakit nila ginagawa ito? Well, akala nila siguro, ginagawa nila ito para sa Panginoon. Akala nila tama ito sa harap ng Panginoon. But Paul, filled with the Spirit of God, has exposed kung ano talaga yung mga tunay nilang motibo. And Paul gives two reasons or motives na nakita niya kung bakit ginagawa ng mga Judaizers na ito. Unang-una, it's because to avoid persecution. Makikita po natin ito sa verse 12. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. When we think about persecution in the New Testament, we are reminded of Acts chapter 7, where Stephen was stoned to death because he boldly declared the gospel. We are also reminded about Acts chapter 9, na si Paul, nung hindi pa siya Christian, na pala niya si Saul, pinapasok niya yung mga tahanan ng mga Kristiyano at kinakalagad palabas para ilagay sa kulungan at piitan at the same time, yung iba ay ine-execute. We are also reminded na kung saan yung mga churches sa Asia Minor ay may nagkaroon ng matinding persecution kaya sila nagkakalat-kalat. So, at ang tanging paraan o isa sa mga paraan para makaiwas sa persecution, alam niyo ba kung ano? Kasi may way para hindi maranasan ng mga Jews ito eh. May way para hindi mo maranasan yung persecution. It will be described in one word. Circumcision. Para makaiwas, just get circumcised. Takot ang mga Judaizers sa pwedeng gawin o sabihin ng ibang mga Jews. Dahil para sa isang Hudyo, isang malaking iskandalo sa kanilang magkaroon ng isang patay na Mesiyas. At hindi lang yung pati yung paraan ng pagkamatay ng Mesiyas, ito yung pinakakahiyahiya. Kahiyahiyang kapamamaraanan pa ng execution. Yung pagkapako sa krus. Isang paraan ng kamatayan na alam ng lahat ng mga Jews na ito'y isang covenant na curse. Binanggit ni Paul yun sa Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. The curse is the one who is hanged on that tree, sabi ni Paul. Kaya sa isip ng mga Judaizers, mas madaling ipagtanggol ang involvement nila sa Christianity kung sasabihin nila na yung mga Gentile Christians na umaatid sa house church nila ay sumusunod sa law ni Moses or nagpa-circumcise. Mas practical na lang na dagdagan nila yung gospel na kung saan hindi sila mapapahamak. Bilang mga Kristiyano, tayo po din ay nakaharap sa ganitong klaseng temptation, ang temptation to either add or subtract from the gospel message because of our fear of men. Dahil sa takot natin na, pwedeng sabihin o gawin nila sa atin, maaaring nababawasan o nadadagdagan na po natin ang gospel message. I remember when I was a youth pastor, I was invited to preach sa isang youth camp where hundreds of young people attended. I was really excited, so I tried to prepare well. I was so eager to be liked by these young people or by this youth. Now to the point, I planned to share my best jokes para matawa sila. I planned na kung saan I would be relevant para makarelate sila sa akin. That my message dapat ay exciting and heartwarming so that they would adore me. So, turn ko na mag-speak nung ako na. And after that, yes, I know I was funny because they laughed. Yes, I was exciting and engaging because I got their interest. Yes, I was relevant because I felt na nakaka-relate sila sa akin while I was teaching. Pero dumating na yung part na sa gospel, because of my fear of losing their favor, I immediately took out ang pagiging makasalanan ng tao, God's holiness and anger towards sinners, and that this holy God will exercise judgment to sinners. Tinanggal ko po lahat yun. So ang gospel presentation ko sounded a little more like this. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Pero upang makita at maranasan mo yung wonderful plan ng Panginoon na ito, kailangan mo tanggapin si Jesus Cristo bilang Diyos at sariling tagapagligtas. It sounded that way, and then I ended with an altar call, meaning I invited mga young people to walk the hall para lumapit to receive Jesus Christ sa harapan ng stage. Na anong problema ron, Pastor? Well, the problem po ron is kulang yung presentation ng gospel. The problem was I just boosted their egos instead of helping them see from scriptures that they are sinners and are about to face the judgment of God. The problem is I did not tell them about what Christ has done for them on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. Instead, I offered them a vague promise of a good life if they trusted Jesus. The problem is I did not urge them to repent from their sins and trust Christ's finished work on the cross. My plan was only to be liked. You know what? And it worked. They did like me. But I shared to them a gospel that is damning. A gospel that would probably lead them to hell. My presentation of the gospel was a kind gospel. Friends, the biblical gospel is an offensive gospel. Hindi po dahil sa we're trying to be offensive, because the message of the cross exposes our heart issue, which is the issue of our hearts, sin. It is offensive to say na tayo ay makasalanan, marumi at mapaparusa ng isang banal na Diyos. That we have failed to meet God's standards, which is perfection. It is offensive to say now we are unable to save ourselves. Na lahat ng pinagmamalaki natin, na mabubuti natin gawa, lahat ng mga religious activities natin ay basura sa harapan ng Panginoon. It is offensive to say that our condition is so bad that someone needs to die for us. It is also offensive to say na isa lang ang way para maligtas, and that is through Jesus Christ, at wala nang iba. The temptation of many churches, or even Christians today, is to soften the gospel, to water it down. There is a refusal to share the bad news about man's sin and God's wrath. Why? Because of fear of men. Fear that they might offend someone. Fear na baka maapektuhan yung church attendance. Baka hindi na umaten. Fear na baka bumaba yung offering. Baka wala na magbigay. Fear na baka hindi sila na magustuhan. Sabi ni John Stott, before we can begin to see the cross as something done for us, we have to see it as something done by us. Friends, is your fear of men preventing you to proclaim the biblical gospel?
Or has it prevented you from ever sharing the gospel? How many times have you video called your friends, your family members, and loved ones and failed to share the true gospel because of your fear that you would be debated, that they would debate you, that they would mock you, that they would ridicule you, that they would reject you? Have you been sharing a kinder gospel? An inoffensive gospel? A gospel that they will agree? A gospel that they will like? Because of self-preservation, the Judaizers preached a different gospel. And Paul exposed their self-preservation motives. The Judaizers preached a cross plus circumcision gospel. Not only to prevent persecution, but also ito yung second reason. Ito yung second motive nila. To accumulate praises. To accumulate praises for themselves. They want to look good in front of others. At dahil sa gusto nilang magpapogi sa harapan ng maraming tao, na uwi po ito sa iba't iba klaseng kahipokritohan. Tingnan nyo po yung verse 13. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law. Ang mga Judaizers ay turo na dapat tuparin nila ang law, pero sila mismo ay hindi nila tinutupad. Eh, isa po mong dahilan kung bakit. Kasi wala talagang kayang tumupad ito perfectly. No one can perfectly obey God's law. Sabi nga ni Santiago 2:10, ang lumabag sa isang utos kahit hindi tutupad sa iba pa ay lumalabag sa buong kautusan. Kitang-kita ni Paul ang motibo ng mga mamang ito. Nagmamala-reliyoso lang sila upang makatanggap ng papuri at parangal sa mga tao na nasa paligid nila para maganda ang tingin sa kanila ng komunidad. Balikan po natin yung verse 12 at saka 13. Sabi sa verse 12, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised. Verse 13, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. This is a strange type of boasting. Pinagyayabang nila ang pag-circumcise ng mga Gentiles. Na parang tila bagay tropeyo para sa kanila pag meron silang natulian na Gentile Christian. Remember, itong mga Judaizers na ito ay galing Jerusalem. So parang pinadala sila ng mga Judaizers ng taga-Jerusalem para i-doktrinohan ang mga Gentile Christians patungkol sa circumcision. And I could have imagined, kunyari, na nagsusulat ng newsletter mga Judaizers sa Galatia para sulatan yung mga taga-Jerusalem na Judaizers, siguro yung nakalagay sa kanilang newsletter sa mismong sa letterhead, parang ito yung nakalagay. 100 Gentiles circumcised, praise the Lord. Parang ito yung parang headline ng kanyang newsletter. Parang yun ang dati kasi yun ang kanilang pinagmamalaki lagi. They don't really care about the Gentiles. They don't really care about the Galatians. They don't really care about praising God. They only care about praising themselves. Keeping up appearances. This reminds us about Jesus nung kinumpronta niya yung mga Pharisees sa Matthew chapter 23 verses 27 to 28. And it reads, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Friends, this is what the false teachers are doing. They parade everything they have been doing to receive praises from men instead of proclaiming Christ and what He has done so that God would get the glory. Malino pong application natin dito. It's either we glory in the flesh or we glory in Christ. Either we glory on circumcision or we glory on the cross. We are in a culture where people boast nearly about everything. We're in a culture where we boast about our accomplishments, our achievements, about our job positions, about our salary, about our education and intellects. We boast about our skills, our skin tone, our physique, we boast about our clothings, the network of people that we belong to, the places we have been, and the list goes on and on and on. I remember even in a small group one time, meron kaming isang lalaki na umaten and started sharing about yung kabigatan niya about his wife, dahil his wife is going through trangkaso ng ilang linggo na. And he was emotionally affected by this. And there's this one brother who is probably his motive is to encourage, started saying, ah, wala yan, wala mo problema yan. Kung ako nga, may cancer. Yung asawa ko may cancer eh. At yun talaga, dalawang taon namin pinaglabanan, hirap na hirap kami ron. Huwag mo na intindihan na hindi mo magkakaroon problema yung sayo. So, I don't know why he said that, but I think my point of sharing that is even in our problems, na pinag-ayabang natin. Pinag-ayabang natin ating mga issues and problems. So that's how pathetic we are. We are people who love to boast and we make it known through our social medias. We make it known through our words and our actions. Ang circumcision party or ang mga Judaizers are wrapped up in religious boasting. Friends, what are your motives in serving our brothers and sisters dito sa Crossroads? Are you serving them as a sign of your faith working through love for God's glory? Or are we doing that only to be appreciated? Only to be liked? Parents, are you teaching your children God's word? Disciplining them, discipling them, in order that one day that they would come to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Or are we doing all of these to make us look good in front of other parents? To make us look good sa harapan ng sa ating mga church members? Parents, have you ever caught yourself saying, okay, pagpunta natin doon, anak, huwag ka magtatakbo sa hall, ha? Huwag na huwag mo akong pahiyain. Instead of saying, anak, huwag kang magtatakbo sa hall, baka maaksidente ka. It turns out na you're still concerned about your image. Friends, is the reason why you are zealously studying God's word, buying a lot of resources, enrolling to different biblical classes, is to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ? If so, praise God. Or, are you trying to prove something to someone? Sadly, we at times boast even about what we know about God. Now, yung word na, word sa Greek na good showing or good impressions of verse 12, ito'y ginamit lamang sa New Testament in this specific verse. Now, si Cole, a theologian, gives a comment on this, which Timothy George quotes him, and he says, Paul's point was that the Jews wanted ecclesiastical statistics, so circumcision in a given year was certainly something to boast about. You know what? Even pastors are guilty of religious bragging. There are times that when pastors gather around, say, some conference or meeting, they brag about the number of church attendees that they have, and I experience that sometimes we end up asking each other, kamusta yung offering mo, kamusta yung mga church activities, so ano na yung ginagawa ninyo ngayon, and sometimes we, if not careful, we have a tendency to brag kung ano meron kami sa church. And this is not good sa harapan ng Panginoon. Pero hindi lang po ang pastors ang gumagawa nun, pati church members. Friends, I know many of you love our church and many of the things that we do sa church have benefited you spiritually and helped you to mature. And we praise God for that. Pero pag kinikwento mo ba ang church natin sa iba, are you sharing in humility to adorn Christ sa kanila? Or are you humble bragging to make you look good? As if you sound na in church lang natin, ang healthy church sa buong lugar na ito. So how do we cultivate humility in our lives and crucify human pride? Because that's what's going on there, here sa ating buhay. We should run to the cross. That's a simple answer. We run to the cross. Ito po yung last point na gusto natin pag-usapan, which is number two. What we should boast about. We should boast about the cross. We boast about the cross of Christ alone. Look at verse 14. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. If we find the Jews strange boasting about circumcision, it is even stranger sa time ni Paul to boast about the cross. Ang balita, ang salitang boast sa Greek po ay wala talagang katumba siya sa word sa English. Mas malalim po ang kahulugan nito than bragging or boasting. Ayon nga kay John Stott, it means to boast in, glory in, trust in, rejoice in, revel in, live for. The object of our boast or glory fills our horizons, engrosses our attentions, and absorbs our time and energy. In a word, our glory is our obsession. Ang sinasabi ni Paul po dito, to boast in the cross means to be consumed with, mastered by something. Which reminds us sa sinabi ni David sa Psalm 44 verse 8. In God we have boasted continually, and we will give thanks to your name forever. Salah. Si Paul ay obsessed sa cross. He would not make much of anything or even glory in anything or be mastered by anything except the cross of Christ. I said it was strange boasting kanina kasi sa panahon ni Paul, ang cross ay hindi po beautiful accessory kagaya ng ginagawa natin din ngayon that we try na nilalagay po natin sa kwintas and from there we have a cross. Noong time ni Paul, it was an ugly instrument of death. Na kung saan ang napako sa krus ay is humiliated, is tortured, and are nailed to the cross. It was a slow, painful death. The cross should be an embarrassment to Paul at sa ibang mga Christians, but instead of denying it, they were broadcasting it. They were advertising it. And yun ang ginagawa ni Paul sa halos lahat ng letters niya sa mga churches. Sabi niya sa Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified as stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I declare to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. Galatians chapter 5 verse 11, the offense of the cross. Colossians 2:15, the triumph of the cross. Philippians 2:8, the wonder of the cross. Para kay Paul, Christ crucified meant the world to him. At ganun din po dapat sa atin bilang mga Kristiyano. Sabi ni Philip Ryken, the cross is not just something to boast about. It is the only thing to boast about. Bakit ang cross ni Christ ang tanging bagay lamang na dapat ipagmalaki natin? Why? Kasi po dito lamang ang tanging paraan upang tayo maligtas sa ating kasalanan. By nature, we are boastful beings. We boast about ourselves all the time. We boast about our possessions or achievements. We boast about our intellects and skills. Friends, we even boast about our sins. Friends, we glory in no one else except ourselves. And God calls that idolatry. Tinuturing natin sarili natin na parang Diyos ng ating buhay. Sabi sa Isaiah 42 verse 8, I am the Lord. This is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. God is a holy, righteous God, and He is angry towards wicked idolaters like us. Sabi niya sa Psalm chapter 7, verse 11, God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day. Same verse sa New Living Translation, ang sinabi is, He is angry with the wicked every day. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, it says that we are objects of God's wrath. Friends, we are unable to save ourselves. No religion, no circumcision, no good works can ever appease God's wrath. This is why God, in His love and mercy, sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Sabi sa Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, in the New Revised Standard Version, but the Son of God emptied Himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. Jesus lived His life only to glorify God the Father. This Son of God was abandoned by His close friends. One of them betrayed Him, sold Him for silver. He was mocked, whipped, beaten up, crowned with thorns. He was stripped naked and nailed on that cross. On that cross, He was barely recognizable. He was hanging on that tree, dying for the very people who were presently mocking Him. Jesus received the full intensity of God's undiluted wrath towards men. Jesus on that cross cried, Telestai! Telestai! Which means paid in full. Jesus paid our sins in full. He died on that cross. And on the third day has risen from the dead, satisfying the wrath of God. And anyone who will go, who will let go of everything that they boast about, everything that they can do to save themselves, humbly receive the salvation that comes through Christ alone, they will be saved. Kaya mga kaibigan sa Panginoon, kaya mga kaibigan, I urge you, pagsisihan niyo na po ang inyong mga kasalanan at ilagay inyong pananampalataya kay Kristo at ginawa niya sa krus para sa ating kasalanan. Repent and place your faith in Christ's finished work on the cross for our salvation. Friends, we can only boast on the cross because God redeemed us from our sins through it. It means that we have been forgiven. It means that we are no longer slaves but sons. It means that we are now justified. It means God has accepted us. And He calls us righteous. It means that we now stand innocent in His sight. It means that everything that we do for God, hindi na po ito filthy rags sa harapan niya. Boasting on the cross means more than simply believing that Jesus died for your sins. It also means living a crucified life. Tingnan po niya verse 14. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Ang ibig sabihin ni Paul when he said, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world, ang word na world po dyan dito does not mean yung created world. This talks about the fallenness of man's godlessness, godless values, system, hopeless pleasures na kung sa matatagpuan sa age na ito. We call that in one word sa Tagalog, kamunduhan. Kamunduhan po. Being crucified to the world is synonymously pareho sa Galatians chapter 5 verse 24. Nung binanggit ni Paul na those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Being crucified to the world simply means dying to your flesh. It's the same thing. Dying to worldly desires, dying to worldly pleasures, or in word na to mortify it, or putting it to death, putting the flesh to death. Now, regardless na tawag ni Paul dito na flesh or world, isa lang po ang pinupunto niya rito. At ito ang pinupunto niya. Our sins need to be crucified on the cross and leave it to die. Mga kaibigan, anong kasalanan ang kailangan mo nang isuko sa Panginoon ngayong oras na ito? Anong kailangan mong immortify? Anong kasalanan ang kailangan ng patayin? Do it, friends. Don't keep it. Stop enjoying it. You must hate that sin that you love. If you are in that situation and you need guidance and help, please reach out to mga elders. Reach out to us. Reach out to your community group leaders. Do not fight this alone. Now, yung word na crucified in both 5:24 at 6:14 ng Galatians ay nasa perfect present tense, na kung saan ang event na nangyari sa past ay may present consequences. At yun po ang ginawa ng cross. Ang cross po ay may is a past event na may present consequences. Na kung saan na yung sinful nature was crucified nung namatay si Kristo sa cross. That is why we are no longer slaves of sin. Ang present consequences noon is that the world o ang kamundukan is slowly losing its hold sa atin mga mananampalataya. That is why we are dead to the world with its temptations, but alive to God by His grace. Kaya mga kaibigan, regardless na ikaw ay Jew or Gentile, once you come to the cross for salvation, ang circumcision po ay hindi na mahalaga since hindi ito nakakaligtas. Ang mahalaga dito ay salvation or new creation through the cross of Christ, at yun ang sinasabi po niya sa verse 15. Look at verse 15. For neither circumcision counts or anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. New creation means it is the Spirit's work of transforming a sinner into a new person. One that is cleansed from sin. One whose heart of stone was turned to a heart of flesh. One whose living in darkness, God has pulled them to His marvelous light. Born again. Regeneration. New person. Friends, Christianity is not about trying hard to be nice and kind to other people. It's about a new creation, a new life that is made possible by the cross of Christ. And everyone who is a new creation receives yung benediction or blessing, number 16. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy upon them and upon the Israel of God. Now, itong benediction of peace and mercy means peace between Jews and Gentiles since Jesus Christ has destroyed the dividing wall of hostility. So, wala na pong ibang-ibang lay. Once you are in Christ, we are brothers. We are now sisters in Christ. Kung mapapansin ninyo, yun ang blessing ng benediction is also conditional. Conditional for those who walk by faith. Now, before I go that, it also mentioned mercy. Mercy from God from sinners. Now, balik tayo dito sa who walk by faith to this rule. Anong rule po ito? Ito po yung rule that pertains to salvation through the cross of Christ alone. Matatanggap nila ang mercy ng Panginoon at kapayapaan sa bawat isa kung sila lamang ay magtitiwala sa krus ni Kristo para sa kaligtasan. Now, yung phrase na upon Israel of God sa last part ng verse 16, ito ay may mahalagang implikasyon sa biblical history. At ito rin ay masasabi natin na controversial na passage. Yung blessing na ginamit ni Paul na peace and mercy ay galing sa traditional na Jewish benediction. Pero hindi ginamit ito ni Paul to refer sa mga Jewish Christians lang na nandoon. Kung hindi ang mga totoong, ni-refer niya ito sa mga totoong anak ni Abraham, ang totoong Israel, whether sila ay Jew or Gentile. Those who trusted in the cross of Christ are the true sons of Abraham. They are the true Israel. They are the true children of the promise. At yun ang sinasabi ni Paul. In short, he's saying he's addressing the church. Yun po yung Israel of God, the new Israel. Now, according kay Philip Ryken, the promises that God made to Israel are fulfilled in the true spiritual sense, the church of Jesus Christ. God has one people in Christ, and what unites them is the cross. We share common boast in the cross, and in the cross alone. Romans chapter 9 verse 8 backs this up. Sinabi ni Paul, This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offsprings. Paul now concludes this letter with these last two verses, verses 17 hanggang 18. Tingnan po muna natin yung first part ng verse 17. From now on, let no one cause me trouble. Intuon muna tayo dyan. Itong statement na ito ay partly a warning para sa mga kaaway ni Paul, which is yung mga Judaizers. Itong mga false teachers na ito followed Paul from Jerusalem papunta po sa Galatia. And from there, Paul now is warning them. Kasi lagi nilang kinokontra ang gospel ni Paul. Lagi nilang iniiba yung gospel by grace alone. Dinadagdagan nila ng works, dinadagdagan nila ng law, dinadagdagan nila ng circumcision. So dahil dyan, binalaan na ni Paul ang mga ito. Binalaan na nila ang panggugulo, natigilan na nila ang panggugulo at pangungontra sa gospel of free grace. Tigilan na nila ang pagtuturo ng palatandaan ng anak ng Diyos ay circumcision. Kasi yun ang lagi ang sinasabi, ang palatandaan ng tunay na anak ng Diyos kasama sa pamilya ni Abraham, kasama sa pamilya ng Panginoon, is ikaw ay tuli. Paul is saying, tigilan nyo na yan. Instead, let me tell you kung ano talaga ang marka ng tunay na Kristiyano. Ang tunay na anak ng Diyos. Tunay na sumusunod sa Panginoon Yesu Kristo. E makita yun sa verse 17. For I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Ang word na mark or scar sa ibang translation ay stigmata. Ito ang ginagamit na seal to brand a slave to determine kung sino ang pagmamay-ari ng slave na yan. Paul is saying that he has the identity marks or marks of Christ for he is a slave of Christ. So ano yung marks na sinasabi ni Paul dito? Anong mark ng tunay na follower ni Christ? Well friends, ang mark ng tunay na follower ni Jesus Christ is this. Suffering. That's the mark. The mark of a true Christian is not circumcision, kung hindi suffering. Paul was a faithful messenger of Jesus Christ. He is a scarred messenger. A sign that he was faithfully heralding the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mga kaibigan, kung ikaw ay faithful follower ni Christ, then you will be scarred. Maring hindi physically, kung hindi sa iyong puso. Those who live their lives for Christ will be persecuted. Nasa Romans chapter 8, verse 17 din po yan. Jesus also told his disciples, in this world, you will face tribulation. Friends, are you willing to preach and boast of the gospel kahit alam mong papahiyain ka? Kahit alam mo na pagtatawanan ka? Kahit alam mo na masasaktan ka verbally or even physically? Kung ikaw ay tunay na Kristiyano, you will be mocked. You will be mocked kung paano mo pinalalaki ang iyong anak. Even, it could be even your spouse or relatives. Kung ikaw ay tunay na Kristiyano, you will be abused and taken advantage of by your colleagues dahil hindi ka nakikisama sa kanila. As a single person who was pursuing holiness and righteousness and purity, you will be mocked by your friends because of your convictions. Ang mga marks or scars mo for Jesus may seem to be disgraceful to the world, but they are precious in the sight of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us later. Friends, may hangganan ito suffering natin. So press on. Paul closes this letter, so verse 18, with a prayer. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Paul begins with a salutation sa salitang grace, so chapter 1, verse 3, and now he ends with a benediction, so chapter 6, verse 18, with the word grace. Which makes sense. The Christian is called by grace. Believe by grace. Will continue to persevere by grace. He used the words brothers here, which could also means or include sisters. Sisters and brothers in Christ. This tells us that Paul is not alone. The grace of God has not only transformed our relationship to God the Father, but also transformed our relationship towards one another. And friends, as a family birthed from the blood of Christ, we should continue to pursue each other in Christ's love and help each other to persevere in the midst of suffering, especially sa mga panahon na ito. Boasting in the cross is for all Christians, which means all Christians will suffer. Since Christ died for us, we should also live and die for Christ. Let me close this sermon series by reading to you a popular hymn galing kay Isaac Watts, 1674 to 1748. He based itong composition ng kanyang kanta sa last part ng Galatians chapter 6 and best expressed a crucified life. It reads, "When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? His dying crimson, like a robe, spread o'er his body on the tree. Then I am dead to all the globe, and all the globe is dead to me. Where the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my fire, my all." Friends, the people of God have nothing to boast about except the cross of Christ marked by a crucified life. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would cause us to persevere sa mga daily struggles po namin. Tulungan po ninyo kami to only boast on the cross of Christ at wala na pong iba. We pray that we would see that the fleeting pleasures of this world are worthless and meaningless compared to what we will receive when we see you one day. Father, strengthen us to trust the finished work of Jesus as we walk in the Spirit and fulfill the law of Christ. Father, we may crossroads be marked by the love of Christ and suffering for His glory. Amen.